Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on the bottom of daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. We're in the middle of discussing the notion of Kol Da'alim Gavar, that sometimes Beis Din doesn't know what to do, and therefore we apply the principle of Kol Da'alim Gavar, that whoever is strongest wins. We had a whole discussion. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean that Beis Din issues a psak of Kol Da'alim Gavar, that it's a one-time thing, or that Beis Din is simply misalik themselves, that they don't do anything, and they allow the two people to fight it out, and maybe you can even go back and forth several times, depending on who is stronger on any given day. So the Gemara is going to try to bring other cases in Shas where it seems that we have similar sveikos, that Beis Din doesn't really know what to do, yet in these other cases we apply different principles, not Kol Da'alim Gavar. We apply a principle such as Yachloku, you split it because we don't know what to do. Or we'll apply a principle like Shuda Dedaini, that we'll leave it up to the Dayanim to make a judgment call because we don't know what to do. And then the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the rule is when we apply Kol Da'alim Gavar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, is there ever a point where a person can develop a chazaka in less than 3 years? Let's say, for example, you see a person in the karka, and the guy who's ma'arer, the marakama, the one who's claiming that the karka was his, was helping the person who developed the chazaka, the person who claims to have bought the karka. He was helping him load peros, he was helping him do things in the karka. Is that an immediate admission that the karka clearly belongs to this person, and maybe he doesn't even need a cheskas gimel shanim in such a case? And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss what if a Yisrael has a chazaka with a claim that he bought the land from a guy, and the Jew who owned it prior to the guy comes and says, no, the land still belongs to me. How do we view that? Do we view that as developing a chazaka in karka of a guy? Or do we view that as developing a chazaka in karka of Yisrael? Because there are nafkaminas la'alacha in terms of who the dispute is between, whether it's between a Jew and a Jew versus between a Jew and a non-Jew. So anyway, we are holding at the two dots on the toward the bottom of the page, three lines on the bottom of the page, on Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, says the Gemara, Ze Omer Shalavosai. Let's say you have a piece of karka, or even a sfina like we had yesterday with Ahu Arba, where there was a boat rather than a piece of karka, because like we said, the din of Kol Da'alim Gavar applies both to karka and metaltalin. That seems pretty clear in this sugya. So Ze Omer Shalavosai Vze Omer Shalavosai. Each person claims, this belonged to my father, and I yarshened it from him, and neither of them have a chazaka, neither of them have rayos to their taina. They're just saying, or they both have, meaning it could be that both of them have edim that the karka belongs to them, or that the karka belonged to their father. But the bottom line is, they both have the same thing. Whatever they have, they both have the same thing. So no one has an advantage over the other one legally. So I'm Rav Nachman, Kol Da'alim Gavar. Rav Nachman says, okay, that's when we apply the principle of Kol Da'alim Gavar. Whoever is stronger is going to, whether Bekoach or Berayos, the Rashbam says, whether it be in power and strength or whether it be with Rayos, he's going to be the one to win. In Dibros Moshe, Rav Moshe discussed, what do you mean Rayos? I thought they don't have Rayos, or they have equal Rayos. So what does it mean, Kol Da'alim Gavar Berayos? Rav Moshe points out, he doesn't mean Rayos Gemuros, because Rayos Gemuros, we'd be Zochem Yikra Adin, you wouldn't have to say Kol Da'alim Gavar. No, just one of them seems to be more together. His claim seems to make more sense. He seems to have a more presentable case, but he doesn't have very clear rayos. That's what you have to say, that is stronger in terms of rayos. So that's the principle of Kol Da'alim Gavar, because Beis Din has no other options. So says the Gemara, but what about other situations where Beis Din doesn't know exactly what to do? Umayshna, Mishnei Shtaros. Why is this any different than a situation where there are two shtare matana, hayotzin biyom echad, that both have the same date on the shtar matana, and they're both signed on the same date? It's just that one shtar says that this property was given to Reuven, the other shtar says that this property was given to Shimon, and neither one has a chazaka more than the other one. So what do we say in that case? It's a machlokas, but neither opinion says kol da'alim gavar. De Rav amar yachloku. Rav says what they do is there's a suffix, so neither one is more muchzak more than the other one. So they divide it. And Shmuel Amar Shuda Didaini. Shmuel says that the Dayanim have to decide who to give the field to based on what they see, what their Omer Hadas is, what they think makes the most sense. Who does the guy like better? Who is he more likely to have given a matana to? And that way, hopefully, they'll get to the right person. Hopefully, they'll arrive at the correct conclusion. But we don't say that they divide it because, in such as Shmuel says, because one of them is definitely going to lose half of it shelo kedin. Meaning, if you do shoot the daini, you might get it right. You might hit a home run. You might have it exactly correct. But if you do a yachloku, you know for sure whatever you're doing is definitely not correct. So why is it that Rav Nachman paskins over here in the case of Safek against Rav, against Shmuel, he paskins called the Alim Gavar? Now to gain an appreciation of this question, not only that Rav Nachman says like neither Rav or Shmuel, who are we really asking? Who should Rav Nachman have paskined like? Should he have paskined like Rav? Should he have paskined like Shmuel? Which one is the one that would have made more sense for Rav Nachman? So there's a sugi Maseches Ksubos and Daf Sadi Dalid, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, where the Gemara explains the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel in two ways. One way of understanding the Machlokas is that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Lazar that Eide Mesira Karti, that the Eide Mesira are the Ikar of the Shtar, and there's a Safek who was Zocha in this Matana, meaning who had the Mesira Sashtar first, meaning who really received the shtar from the guy who was giving the matana. So the din is shuda d'daini to figure out who's more mistaver that the person would have given it to. But Rav holds like Rav Meir that really edei chasima are the ikr. So both of the makablam or shavim are exactly equal because it's not about. First, it's they both have the same date, and the chasima sashtar is what determines whatever's written in that shtar. What's written in that shtar is exactly the same thing. So the reason they split it is not because of a suffix. It's because we view them both as shutvim. It's not that we're not sure, is it this guy or is it that guy? But they're both 100% shutvim. So that's based on that, Tosos and the Ramban write that our Gemara's kasha on Rav Nachman is only from Shmuel. According to Rav, you understand that there's no comparison whatsoever, because you can't compare our case, which is a suffix, to a case where we know for sure that they're both shutvim. So the whole question is only if you're going to assume that the case of Shnei Shtaros, Hayotzim B'Yom Echad, is also a Safek. You assume Eidim Mesira, so, and in the case of Safek, look what you do. You say, Shuda D'daini, so then why don't you say Shuda D'daini over here also? Why would you say Kol Dolim Gavar? That's one way the Gemara understands that Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. However, the second way the Gemara over there understands Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is that both Rav and Shmuel hold like Rav Lazar that Eide Mesira Karti, that the Ikar of the Shtar is the Mesira Sashtar. So in the case of the Shnei Shtaros, they're both modif, there's a Safek. There's a Safek. Both Rav and Shmuel say it's a Safek. It's not that we know for sure and they're both Shutvim. It's a Safek who really owns it. It's just that Rav holds that by a Safek, whenever you have a Safek, Chalukah is the better way to resolve the suffix, and Shmuel holds Shuda is a better way to resolve the suffix. So the Rashbam points out that according to that, our Gemara's Kasha is not only on the Shita of Rav or Shmuel, it's on both. It's why doesn't Rav Nachman say like Rav or Shmuel? Both of them are could be the point of the question. Not just why doesn't Rav say like Shmuel? Why doesn't Rav say like both either Rav or Shmuel? Because there are cases where Shmuel is molded to Rav that you would say Yachloku, in a case where he can't say Shuda. For example, the Dayan doesn't know. Let's say the Dayan comes up empty in his research of who he likes more. So even Shmuel would agree in such a case that Yachloku. So Manavshach, if it's a case where you're able to do Shuda, so why does Rav Nachman, why doesn't Rav Nachman paskin Shuda? And in the case where you're not able to do Shuda, why doesn't Rav Nachman paskin Yachloku? So that's the deeper kasha that we're asking on Rav Nachman, if you understand like that second way the Gemara says. Now Tosus asks on the Shita Sarashbam, what's the Gemara's kasha on Rav Nachman? It doesn't say Shuda in our case. What kind of Shuda are you going to do? Meaning, if you're going to say that the kasha is, why don't you say Shuda D'daini? Shuda D'daini is you figure out who the who it really likely belongs to. Zomer Shalavosev, Zomer Shalavosev. You know, when it's a matana, okay, does he have a relationship with that person? Does he have more of a relationship with that person? You can look into that kind of thing and you could try to figure out who's more likely correct. But Zomer Shalavosev, Zomer Shalavosev, how do you figure that out? How do you make a judgment call on Shalavosev versus Shalavosev? So Tosos points out that Lechora, it's very difficult to understand Shuda the way the Rashbam understands Shuda and apply it to our Gemara. But if you say that Shuda means like the Balei HaTosas say, like Rabbi Natam says, that it's not that the Dayanim try to make a judgment call. Who is it more likely that he would have wanted to give it to? No, Rabbi Natam says Shuda is Dayanim decide who they want to give it to. Not that they're trying to figure out. They figure, they look at these two people. Which one of these is a guy that we would rather give it to? So it has nothing to do with being Magia LeEmes, with finding out who's the rightful owner. They know that they can't. They know that they have no way of figuring out the rightful owner. So then you could ask, why not say Shuda in our case as well? So bottom line is, though, that we're asking on Rav Nachman. Why does Rav Nachman come up with this idea of Kaldalim Gavar? It seems like such a strange way to resolve a problem. The better way to resolve the problem would be Yachloku, or at least Shuda Dedaini. So says the Gemara, Hasam Leka Lemekam Allah Demilsa. By the case of the Shnei Shtaros, there's no way to be Mevarer what actually happened. Since you're never going to know who's correct, who the land actually belongs to you, so Bezin has to be Dan Adin, and they have to Paskin one way or the other. So that's where Yachloku comes in, that's where Shuda Dedaini comes in. But Hacha, over here in our Sugya, neither one has any evidence yet. So essentially what we're saying is, nothing has come to light so far. So Ika Lemekam Ala Demilsa, it could be that we will one day be Mevarer, if Adin will come and be made who the real owner is. So Beis Din doesn't want to issue a psak, because issuing a psak now is dangerous. Once testimony or evidence comes to light, they then are likely going to have to reverse their psak. So it's one thing when you know that this is it, whatever you say now, this is final. So then Beis Din could take a stand. But if they know that that this is not final and that there might be more evidence forthcoming, then Beis Din does not have the ability to take a stand. Why is there such a difference in terms of how are they so confident that in the case of Rav and Shmuel that no more evidence is forthcoming, and in our case there is more evidence forthcoming? So in the case of Rav and Shmuel, what happened? He had two shtaros that had edim on it. So what's the highest form of evidence you could ever have? Shnei edim. So what's going to happen? Two edim are going to come and change everything? They're not going to change anything. If two edim come and are made, which shtar was given before the other one? It's not going to help, because ain't Akadama B'Sha'us. The Gemara is, we're working with the assumption that the fact that one was given earlier in the day doesn't help, because the Shtar is a date, and that's the date, and that's it. It doesn't matter. So, and also, what, you can say that Edim Arbi Mavar, that one of these Shtaros was given on the day that it was written, and the Makabel was actually Kona, and the second Shtar was given a couple of days afterwards? No, if they were written on Yom Echad Min Astam, they were given on the same day, says the Rashbam. But there are Rishonim that hold that even when Shnei Shtaros are Nimsur B'Yom Echad, the first one to be Mekabel the Shtar is Zoche. Now, if that's the case, then we can't accept this idea that there's no way that we're going to have evidence forthcoming. Sure, if two Edim come and testify which one of these guys got it first, meaning the day is a long day, one of them might have gotten in the morning, the other one might have gotten in the afternoon. So how can we confidently say that, oh, there's no more testimony, there's no more evidence forthcoming? There might be. The Teretz of the Gemara, Lekel Mekam Alad Milsa, is not so clear anymore. What do you mean? It could be Ikal Mekam Alad Milsa. So Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that since we know who the Edim were that saw the Shtar, and we've already interviewed those Edim, and we already, or those Edim are already dead, or we for whatever reason, we know who the Edim are, and that was, we obviously did that type of research to track them down. So obviously that didn't turn anything up. The chances of anything else coming up, there's no other evidence that could come up other than who got the Shtar first. But we know who the Edim Asiru were, and it didn't work. It didn't work to figure out through the Edim Asiru that they're dead, they went to Medina Siam. Something happened where they're no longer accessible to us. So that's why we work with the assumption that nothing further is going to happen. So ask the Gemara further on Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Nachman kept on said this idea, Kol dolim gavar. So whenever we have no way to resolve it, that's what we go with. So ask the Gemara, oh yeah, Maishna mehadetanan, why should this be any different than the Mishnah Bava Metzia? Hamachlif para b'chamar, someone does a chalipin, a kinyan chalipin, when he's a makne his para, or kona a para, in exchange for a chamar, and the para was pregnant at the time, and the halacha is that in order to affect the kinyan chalipin, the para doesn't have to be here, the chamar could be here, the para could be in a different state, and we do a kinyan on the Ruvain is kona the chamar from Shimon, and automatically at that moment that Ruvain is kona the chamar from Shimon, Shimon becomes the owner of the para, the yalda, and then we go and see the para, see how it's doing after the kinyan's over. Para has a new little baby, so we don't know when did that baby, when was that egel born? Was that egel born before the kinyan, or is that egel born after the kinyan? Or similarly, v'chena mocher shivcha so v'yolda. Someone sells a shivcha, and the shivcha gave birth in between. And again, we don't know exactly when that happened. We don't know time of birth. Was the leda before the kinyan, or is the leda after the kinyan? It's interesting that when it comes to the paro, we say hamachlif. When it comes to the shivcha, we say hamocher shivcha. So why not hamachlif shivcha for something else and hamocher es hapara? So in either case, you have to say obviously that the shivcha or the para in each individual case was not at the makom hakinyan. So we don't know who the rightful owner is. The reason it chooses by the para a kinyan chalipin is because that's the only case where we could actually have a suffik. Because if you were to sell a para for money, then if the lokeach only gives the money, the para is not yet nikneis, because you could still be chozerbo. That's a mishnah kiddushin daf chavav amar aleph. And if you're moshech the para, well, and that's how you did the kinyan, meaning if it was really a mechira, mechira means the para for money. So if you took the money mos and konos, the mos is not going to be enough to be kona metaltalin. It doesn't make a kinyan. It's payment, but it's not a kinyan. So nothing happens when you give the money. And if the transaction was made directly on the para, well then you should know whether the para had the baby yet or not, because the para was right there. The whole premise of the case is that the para was not there. But when it comes to a shivcha, it could use the term of mechira, because an eved is nikna by giving money alone without meshicha. That's also a mishnah and kiddushin and af chav beis am beis. So when you give the money, the shivcha is automatically niknes, and it could be that you have this suffix if you don't know who the rightful owner is. That's what the Rashbam points out over here. That's why we use this slightly different lashonos. So anyway, ze omer ad shalom acharti yolda. The guy who sold the para claims, oh, the para must have given birth before the sale, before the transaction. Vize omer misha lakachti yolda, and the lokeach tainas, no, after I already bought it, that's when it gave birth, and therefore it was birushusi that it gave birth, and it's the calf belongs to me. Halacha is yachloku. So why over here, where again we have no way of verifying one way or the other who's right over here, we don't say kol da'olam gavar. We say yachloku. What happened to kol da'olam gavar? Now the lechora the Gemara could have asked also on Shmuel from here, meaning by shnei shtaros hayotzim biyom echad. Should we just got through saying Shmuel holds shuda d'daini, and the Mishnah apparently says no. When it's mamon mutl b'safek yachloku, you split it. Shouldn't this have been a raya for Rav against Shmuel? Because this is a Mishnah, so it's more powerful. So the Shpam suggests that over here, even Shmuel will be moda, that there's no way you could say Shuda D'daini, because how is Beis Din supposed to be Mishaer when the Leda was? And that's the Rashbam L'shitaso. Because again, the Rashbam understood that Shuda D'daini means that Beis Din has to figure out what they think really happened. That they have to figure out what the truth really is. Who did this guy want to give a matana to? Who did he have a relationship with? Well, how are they supposed to figure out when at what precise moment the cow gave birth? So it's not shayich to say shuda d'daini. So even Shmuel would agree you cannot say shuda d'daini over here. Mel, of course, Shmuel would agree yachloku. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests different. Based on the Gemara in Ksubas Tatsadi Dalid, machlokas Rav and Shmuel is in fact the machlokas Tanaim. That the Gemara associates the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether you say Shuda or Yachloku, with the Machlokas Tanaim. So Shmuel's not going to be bothered by any Mishnah. You can bring whatever Mishnah you want, and Shmuel's going to say, yeah, I am aware that there's such a Shita as Tanaim, but there's another Shita Tanaim that disagrees, and that's the Shita that I happen to paskin like. So that's why it's not a Kasha on Shmuel, but the Kasha is on Rav Nachman. How come you're saying Kol Dolim Gavar, whatever happened to Yachloku, which is what seems to be the Mishnah's idea of how to resolve this? So it says Gemara, Hasam Lahai Islay Drar de Mona, Uluhu Lesley Drar de Mona. Over there, by each of the Bali Din have what's called a Drar de Mamona. But Hacha, by the case of Rav Nachman, where each guy is claiming the Karkas Shalavosai, Idemar lo demar, the idemar lo demar. If the field belongs to one of them, then it never belonged to the other guy. He has no shaychus to the money whatsoever. If it belongs to the second guy, then the first guy has no shaychus to the money. So you can't say yachloku. Meaning, what we're saying is yachloku only applies when there's drora de mona. The way the Rashbam understands drora de mona means that each of the balei din have some sort of connection to the item in question. They both wore the bailum of the para at some point. So they have some sort of connection. At some point, it was in the rishus of each one of them. So, and it could be. Plus, it could be that one day we'll figure it out. So that's where you say yachloku. But when they have no, if one guy's the rightful owner, the other guy's a zero, the other guy has nothing, so then you're not going to say yachloku, then you're going to say kol da'alam gavar. Now, the Rashbam adds that even if the cow gave birth mamish at the time of the kinyan, the vlad would still be mutal b'safek, and that's what the Rashba writes. The drar de mona is that each one has a taina she'in ba machlokas, that they both are moda that originally the para belonged to the first guy, and they're both moda that right now the para belongs to the second guy. So there's a yisod, there's a basis for each one's tviya. That's what drar de mona is, that neither of them are coming with no basis whatsoever. They both have some basis because they both clearly, definitely, were owners of the cow at some point. However, Rashi in Maseches Bava Metzia translates the word drora de mamona differently. Rashi says drora de mamona means hefsid mamon, that they stand to lose. And leka drar de mamona means that someone doesn't stand to lose, like it was a metzia or something like that, where he's never going to lose. It was all gain. It was all free money. It wasn't something that he stands to lose. So the Rashba raises the kasha that if you say like Rashi, how exactly do you understand our Gemara? Sounds from the Gemara that the case of Rav Nachman, where each one is claiming shalavosai, our Gemara says there's no drora de mamona. What do you mean by that? That there's no drora de mamona? They don't stand to lose. What do you mean? This is my Yerusha. I stand to lose it all. I stand to absolutely lose the Yerusha. So that's very difficult to understand how Rashi would understand this Gemara. The Rashba writes that according to Rashi, you have to say that Drar de Mamona means different things in different places in Shas. And over here it means a Tviya on the Mamona, a basis for a Taina on the money. And Bamitzia means a Hefsid money. And that you have sometimes. You have sometimes a similar concept, the same words in different places in Shas that mean different things. Tosas, however, says Drar de Mamona means that the Suffolk is not because of the Tainos of the Bali Din. The Matzav itself creates the Suffolk. The situation itself, even without any Tainos, causes us to be mistapek what the halacha is. Like over here, we have a suffik, when was the latest hapara? So since the suffik creates itself, so that's when we say yachloku. But when Beis Din has no suffik, the suffik was only because of the tainos of the people. Zeomer shalavosa, you could look at a picture of the situation and not even know that there's a suffik, not know that there's an issue. So that's where we say kol dalim gavar, and we don't say yachloku. You have to work out exactly what the svara for that is. Why does it matter how the suffik was created precisely, whether it was created through the tainos or it was just an automatic suffik, but somehow that makes the difference whether we say yachloku or whether we say kol dalim gavar. Okay, now we're going to discuss a little more about kol dalim gavar. Amri nardai, meaning in principle, kol dalim gavar is the when the chakiru we said by Kol Dalam Gavar is it a psak or is it a siluk? So a psak would imply that Beis Din is getting involved, saying we know it belongs to one of you two, and therefore we're going to assume, like the Rosh said, that the stronger one is going to be Moser Nefesh more. He's going to be the one that wins this fight is going to be the one who's really the rightful owner. But there is no way that Beis Din will allow a third man into the ring to fight for it. Meaning the deal is between these two people. How could you allow a third man in to fight for it? And he's going to come in and win the fight. You know, a competitive fighter or something. You know, the champion. He's going to come in and say, "Oh, Kol Dalam Gavar. Okay, this is a." Easy way for me to get some property, so he'll go and he'll wipe the floor with the other two guys. No, he's got no sheichus. Or maybe no, maybe Kol Dalam Gavar is based and says we have no idea who it belongs to. We are not dealing with this. It's a siluk, and if it's a siluk, then they're going to have to. Then anybody can come and technically take it. That's what the Gemara deals with next. What if a third party comes in? Do we at least get that involved to say the third party you have no claim? You can't come in and take it. Sami Nardai, they said in Narda. A third party comes from the shuk. He has no shaykhs to anything that's going on over here. That's what the Rosh Rabbah understands that ba'achad min hashuk means. He has no taina whatsoever. He's not even claiming that it belongs to him. And he says vehechzik ba. He doesn't say anything. He grabs the land. Ein motzino sub miado. Now, do you say we don't take it away from him? Because why would we take it away from him? We have no one to give it to, so we can't take it away from him because we don't know who the rightful owner is anyway. Meaning, it's like a person's yored the sada, that you don't know who the owner of the field is. Beis Din doesn't take the field away from him. Maybe the field is hefker, and if it's hefker, then this guy was just zocha in the hefker. So over here as well, we don't know who it belongs to. So why would we take it away from him? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes. Rabbeinu Yonah also adds that it could be that the true balakarka will be hurt by the fact that the other guy, that the wrong guy will be given this field. Meaning, the true balakarka may prefer, if I can't have it, I'd rather a third party have it than someone who actually has a taina. Because no one is once I bring my raya, so once I have any sort of raya, that a guy who has a taina might be able to fight me over it. But a guy who doesn't even have a taina, who doesn't claim it's his, who just, you know, saw that there was an opportunity over here, so he decided to take advantage. So he's not going to fight me over it. He's not, then I'll be able to get it back more easily. The Rashba and the Ran, however, say that the reason we're able to see Miyado is because he could say to each one of them, Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat. Meaning each one can come to him and say, "Hey, that's my land." No, I don't think so. I think it's the other guy's land. So you're not the person that should have a dinu dvarim with me. And the other one will come, "No, Lav Bal Dvarm Didiyat." That's what they say, the Rosh writes. Now, Tosfos raises the question, well, if that's the case, why can't they just write a harsha'a to each other? Meaning, generally speaking, if you have a couple of people who might be the rightful owner and there's someone else who's definitely not, those couple of people can write a shtar harsha'a, which says, it's either yours or you're coming with my power of attorney representing me. So then, you can't say, lav bal dvarim didiyat. I'm speaking on behalf of my client. So you think he's the owner? He's my client. You think I'm the owner? I'm me. So you can't tell me lav bal dvarim didiyat. So Tosfos raises that question, why you can't say that they just write a harsha'a. So Tosfos writes that you can't do that whole rishayim haim, because one of them is definitely a liar and a cheater, and therefore we're not going to be mesiaches to someone who's coming on behalf of a liar and a cheater, someone who has no real claim. That's why a shtar harsha'a is not going to work. Okay, so the Gemara, so again, Naradai's great chiddush was that if a third party comes in and is machzik in the land, even without a taina whatsoever, ein motzino samiyado. We do not take it away from that third party. So the Tani, Rabbi Chia, gazlan shal rabim, lav shmei gazlan. Someone who steals money that's shaykh to one of many people, and we don't know who the person is that he stole from, he's not considered a gazlan. It doesn't mean that he's not a rasha, he's a terrible person. Beis Din can't be motzi the gazela mitachas yado. Now, we do have a case where the Gemara talks about in Baba Kama, a person steals from one of five people, and we don't know who the nigzal is, and each one claims that he's the nigzal. So Beis Din is mostly the gzela miyado, because he definitely stole from one of them, and he's vaday chayiv to return the gzela. So why is that any different than our case, than a gazlan shal rabim, where we have no lead as to who the nigzal might be? Let's say you're able to narrow down the nigzal to a group of five people. So then we say, okay, motzino samiyada, we're going to take it from him. But it's just when you can't narrow it down, we're not going to take it away. So the Achronim explained that the chilik is that over there, at the time that it was stolen, he definitely stole from one of them, and the suffik only came later, who the nigzal was. So Bezin's motzi miyado, because his chiyuv to return it doesn't go away when the suffik arises. But over here, we never knew. It was a suffik meikara. That's how they explain the chilik. So Ravashi is cholik on the Nardai, and he says as follows: Ravashi Amar liolam shmei gazlan. Someone who steals money that's in dispute, even though none of them have a raya, none of them are muksuk, he's still called the gazlan in the sense that we are motziin oso miyado. We definitely take it away from him, and we put it in front of the other two people who actually have a claim on it, and we say, kol dalem gavar, go for it, because min astam, one of them is the rightful owner. So we would actually apply kol dalem gavar exactly like Rav Nachman would say. Umay lo shmei gazlan. What does Rabbi Chia mean when he says gazlan sharam is lo shmei gazlan? It means shlonitan yishavon, that this kind of gzela you can't easily return to the proper owner, because we don't know who the proper owner is. That's all it means, that it's lo shmei gazlan. But there's no way that he's allowed to keep it. He definitely has to return it. Okay, cheskasan shalosh shanim miyom liyom. The Mishnah had said that a person is machzik in karka and he claims that he had purchased that karka. The original owner is ma'arer. He says, no, you didn't buy it, I never sold it to you. So 3 years. You need 3 years in order to develop a chazaka. Basics of the third paragraph of Baba Basra. You need 3 years. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, I dalile ihu gufei tsana depere. Very, very big machlokes showed him how to translate this line. The Rashbam understands it means, Edim said that they witnessed that the ma'arer, the one who's claiming the field, still belongs to him and that he never sold it, picked up a basket of peros from the field and helped load it onto the shoulder of the person who's claiming to have the chazaka, of the person who's claiming to have bought the field. So then, li altaravi chazaka. It's going to be a chazaka right away. He doesn't need shalosh shanim, because the ma'arer can't say, I never sold it to you. You were there helping him enjoy the benefits of this field. How can you say that you had that you have a taina? What was he doing there? No, you had no taina. You know, you were helping him. That's how the Rashbam understands this line in the Gemara. And the Rambam seems to understand similarly in Toin Vinitam Parakiral Halachates that the Ma'arer is locate me peros hasada for the machzik. That so meaning he doesn't say exactly the same. He says that the Ma'arer was picking peros on behalf of the machzik, for the machzik, and then giving it to the machzik. The point is, it's the same idea, that the ma'arer was clearly actively involved in something that was going on in that field in a way that the machzik that reflects the machzik's ownership of the field. So you then can't turn around and say that the machzik doesn't have any ownership of that field. That's clearly the situation. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zvid ve'imtan va'amar leperos haraditiv ne'eman. But if the ma'arer were to say, no, you know why I was helping him? Because I sold him the peros of that field. He's an aris, he's my sharecropper, so he gets a chelik of the peros, and all I was helping him get was his share of the peros. Well, then he's neman to say that that's all he was doing, and he's not going to lose the field. If initially the machzik he made a taina that the machzik was stealing from him, and then they were made that he helped out, then he's not able to back out on that. Meaning, even though this taina would help to say, oh, I was helping him because he's my artist, that's only if that was his initial claim when he was first presented with anything. But if, let's say, initially he comes in as ma'ari, says, this guy's a gazlan, he has no shaykhus to my field, and then to Edim come and say, well, we saw you helping him load baskets from the field, you know, load peros onto his shoulder, and then he says, oh, I meant that he's not, so that you can't do. He's not allowed to change his story. That's what the Ritva points out, that this only works if that was actually his initial claim. But Tosfos raises a very compelling question over here. Tosfos points out, if the Ma'arer is going to be believed to say that that this guy is an artist and that's why he was helping out with the peros, shouldn't that create a situation of Migo? That since he could have said the peros are additive, so he should be neman to say that the guy's a gazlan and that it's not the peros are additive. Meaning, once you say that there is a situation where the Ma'arer would be neman, even though he helped out, So whatever he says when he helped out, he should still be Naaman. Even if he says that the guy's a Gazlan, Migo, I could have said, Leperos Aradative, and I would have been believed. So Tosus gives a couple of terutzim. First of all, they say it's a Migo B'makom Edim, because we have an Anan Sahadi that Hagbas Peros on someone else's shoulders is a Hoda'a that the Peros belong to him. So for him to say he's a Gazlan and he has no Sheikhus, and believe me, because I could have said that he was an Aris, no, but he's definitely not a Gazlan, because it's Ki'ilu we have Edim that he's not a Gazlan, because you helped him with the Peros. So it's a Migo B'makom Edim. That's one answer. Then Tosus says he couldn't say that I could have titled the Peros Radative, because it's an entirely different Taina. When he's coming and saying that the guy's a Gazlan, what's he saying? That the land and the Peros, all of it belongs to me, that this person has no rights in anything in the Karka. Believe me when I'm saying that, because I could have said the Peros Radative, which is essentially saying the land belongs to me, the Peros really belong to him. You didn't want to say that. You wanted to claim more. You wanted to claim that the land and the Peros all belong to you. You can't say amigo in such a case. The amigo that he would have been believed with is a lesser taina. It's a taina for a less amount of schaira. So you can't say such a statement. There's another sheet in Rishonim how to understand the whole case. Not that he helped him load the baskets, but that the machzik loaded up baskets and sent them as a matana, sent a fruit basket for Shabbos to the Ma'arer, and the Ma'arer said, "Oh, thank you very much," and he accepted it. So that's the other sheet in Rishonim as to when he loses his ability to have a taina. Meaning, if you really think this guy's a Gazlan, you wouldn't accept his gifts. Or you could taina, no, maybe I would, because I'll take a hatsala porta, whatever, he's giving me my stuff, so I'll take whatever little stuff that he's going to give me, even if he thinks he's giving it to me as a gift. Anyway, all of this is only within 3 years. After 3 years, the Ma'ar is no longer going to be believed. The other guy's got a chazaka already. Amle Ravashi Ravkana. Ravashi asked Ravkana, if after 3 years he's not believed to say that the machzik is only an aris, doesn't this create a major problem any time you have an aris arrangement, you have a sharecropping arrangement in your field? Meaning, what are you supposed to do in that? How do you prevent your aris from developing a chazaka if whenever you're going to come and claim you have a long-term aris who's been in the field for five years, at any point he could just come and claim that he bought it from you, and you're going to have no recourse because he's been working there for 5 years, and you're not going to be able to claim that he's an aris anymore. Of course you have recourse. What you're supposed to do is foresee the possibility of that happening and make a macha'a every once in a while within 3 years to let it be known to the world that this field does not belong to the aris, that this field belongs to you. If you allow 3 years to pass without making a macha'a, that's on you. That's your own problem. So how do you make a macha'a? Normally macha'a is, I object to what's going on over here, that I don't like this, he's in my field, he shouldn't be there. This macha'a is not that. You're not saying, I object to what's going on over here. I'm very happy with what's going on over here. I am informing. I'm giving the information out in front of Edim. You tell people, I'm informing everyone that the reason this person is enjoying the peros of my karka is not because he owns the gufa karka, but it's just that he is he's there to eat the peros. That's all a person has to do. That's the kind of macha that he has to make. Says Mordi, lote ma'achi. If you're not going to say that a macha like this works, hani mashkanta desura, what would you do with the situation of mashkanta desura? We've discussed mashkanta desura in the past. Someone owes somebody else money. You don't think he's going to have the ability to pay it back. So what he does is, Reuven owes Shimon money, so Reuven will give Shimon his property, and Shimon will enjoy the peros of that property to the point that Shimon will take little by little and slowly deduct from the amount that Reuven owes him for the amount of time. And they said in advance that we estimate that it's about $100 a year that this property produces, so I owe you $1,000, you'll have it for 10 years and you'll therefore get fully paid back. So the kasabu bimishlam shanya ilan tepuk arada below kesef. And part of the document, what it says in the shtar, is that at the end of X number of years, this land will be taken away without any money changing hands, because that's when the loan will be fully paid off. Well, ikavish l'shtar mashkanta gabei v'amr l'kuchi biyadi. Why can't the malva just keep the he's the one with the shtar mashkanta that says that he's entitled to keep this land for 10 years, let's say, but it also says and after 10 years he has to give it back without any money changing hands. Why can't he just fold up that shtar, put it in his pocket, never show it to anybody, and say I have a cheskas gimel shanim on this karka? So achinami de behemin, we just say that he'd be believed in such a case that he has a cheskas gimel shanim and that he therefore doesn't have to give the karka back to anybody. Misakni rabbanan midi da asi beli de pseida. Would rabbanan make a takana of a mashkanta de sura where it's going to cause this kind of loss? The from the fact that the lashon is misakni rabbanan, it sounds like that is a davar pashut that the chum would never be misakin something that's going to be maybe they have. So any takana that the tzibur is misakin, you have to be very, very careful that it doesn't cause any hefsid to somebody else. That's what the Yad Ramah points out from the lashon of this gemara, that it's not just stam the mashkanta de sura, that you know that we have a technical question on the mashkanta de sura. This is a broad rule in takanos, that takanos hatzibur, takanos chazal, you always have to be careful. Whenever takana is made, is it going to cause anyone hefsid? Sometimes you're addressing a problem, you're stopping a leak here, but you're causing a leak somewhere else. So you're addressing one problem and there's another problem that is being created. So no, we cannot do that. A takana cannot be maybe lidei hefsid, because on the one hand, this is a very valuable takana. Some of the malva is not going to get paid back otherwise, so now he's able to get paid back. No, but if it's going to cause a hefsid to the lova, that's not good. Ella, so how does the lova see to it that the malva doesn't develop a chazaka on his field? He should simply make a macha, and that would stop the loss of the karka, would stop any false claims on the karka. So achinami, by the morid chaveru l'sadei l'peros, you let someone go into your field to have the peros, we say the same thing, that you should have made a macha. The macha will work, that when the guy will be tovei the field, he'll be naman to say that l'peros raditicha, even after 3 years. And apparently Rav Ashi accepted that response of Rav Kahana. That's how the Rashba writes. So apparently this response of Rav Kahana is avibay lelim chuyay is valid, and therefore we do accept la halacha that even after three years he can have a chazaka unless there was a macha'a, that the macha'a was something that was expected to happen. Now the Gemara is going to bring another number of dinim of chazaka in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. First Gemara is going to talk about someone who's machzik in a field that he bought from a guy, but before that the field had belonged to a Jew. So maybe we'll just read the case now and then tomorrow we'll start elaborating. Amar Vidam Rav, Yisrael Abba Machmas Ovid Chavim. If you have Yisrael that's coming because of an Ovid Chavim, he's machzik in a field that used to belong to another Jew, but his taina of Bailus was that he bought it from a guy who owned it in between. Hareyu ka Ovid Chavim. He only has the power of the Ovid Chavim that he's claiming to come in place of. Ma Ovid Chavim Elo Chazak Al Bishtar, Af Yisrael Abba Machmas Ovid Chavim Elo Chazak Al Bishtar. Just like Ovid Chavim himself would only have chazaka with a shtar, only a shtar works, so too Yisrael who's coming machmas in Ovid Chavim is only going to have a chazaka with a shtar. With anything short of a shtar, even a chazaka gimel shanim is not going to work. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll start discussing that tomorrow.